This is Ozarks at Large. It's hard to identify a segment of society not altered because of the COVID-19 outbreak. A University of Arkansas Honors College two-week forum beginning next week will cover the pandemic from many different angles. And we continue our series of conversations with some of the instructors who will lead sessions of the forum with Jenny Popp, Associate Dean of the Honors College and Professor of Agricultural Economics and Agribusiness at the U of A. She'll co-lead a class about the economic impact of the lockdown on May 20th. Earlier this week, we called her at home. She says preparing for this class is different than getting ready for regular courses.
First of all, this is rapid fire information that's coming at us now. When I check my statistics online, they change from Monday to Friday. So it means staying on top of the material on a daily basis. Because this is an intercession course, we also have a very short period of time to try to squeeze in a lot of information to students. So it definitely makes preparations very different.
Yeah, so that will give it an incredibly contemporary feel. I mean, if you're talking about GDP numbers and things like that, students will know that, gosh, by the time this two-week intercession class is over, those numbers that you're talking about on your day could be altered.
They will be altered, for sure.
So what do we know, what can we know at this point about things like the labor force and GDP moving forward?
Well, what we can know is based on what we've already seen. And what we have seen already is decreases. And unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's what we're seeing in the economy right now. In the last quarter, GDP fell 4.8%. And 4.8% in terms of GDP is a lot, especially when you compare it to the fact that last year we were up 2%. So that's a big change. The forecasts moving forward are even worse. It's because that first quarter GDP numbers, January, the economy, and lots of February, we were still chugging along really well. So it didn't, only a very small portion of that time frame had any negative impacts associated with the coronavirus. Since our next reports will be based on full coronavirus times, we can expect a much greater response. Something that economists look to in order to get information are surveys. We're huge on surveying, and a lot of consumer surveys ask the consumers what they intend to do in the future. And by all indications, most surveys are showing that consumers are really holding back their money. The little bit of money that they may have if they're still employed, they're really shifting their spending patterns. They're focusing in on necessities and not really using much other discretionary spending beyond that. In terms of jobs, again, the information isn't good. That 4.8 is an important number right now. 4.8 unemployment across the nation. Across the state of Arkansas. And that's up above, I think, 3.5%. So unemployment is growing in the state at the moment. It's growing nationally. And as a response, we're seeing real decreases in the amount of expenditures in what we call durable goods, things like cars and furniture. Non-durable goods are things like food and clothing. Food expenditures we know have been way up, but that's at the expense of expenditures on clothing. Since we're all working at home, and people aren't finding really good reasons to go out and spend on clothing. Recreation services are down. Unfortunately, the loss in tourism and recreation jobs has been horrendous across the country. And unfortunately, what the projections show is that we're not going to see that turnaround anytime soon, even with states opening.
This reminds me of something like a chessboard where each move can affect what are the next five or six moves. Is that sort of how we're looking at? Like what happens now might affect something a little bit later, and that might have other ripple effects?
That's right. In economics, we have these things we call the multiplier effect, which can be a domino effect. An effect in one industry can have an impact in another and another. For example, my primary focus is agriculture. And in agriculture, we try to measure what we call direct impacts of agriculture. And so that's the jobs and economic activity that happens in the ag sector. But the ag sector is supported by other industries that help feed the animals, help fertilize the crops. And so anything that agriculture needs causes an impact in those supply sectors. Now, everybody in both the agriculture sector and the supply sectors have income that come from those activities, and they spend it on other things. So an example I like to use in my class is the fact that we have rice farming in eastern Arkansas allows us to have bowling alleys in northwest Arkansas because of the trickle-down effect of those spending effects. So when we see one thing happen in one sector, an important spending sector such as durable goods and non-durable goods, we will see impacts ripple through the economy moving forward.
Farming is never about certainty. Floods, drought, tornadoes, things like that can alter pests. Is the pandemic just something that adds on to the uncertainty of agriculture?
Absolutely. When we look at the agriculture sector, we typically look at the crop sector and the animal sector separately because they face different kind of constraints. The crop sector is definitely more directly impacted by weather. The animal sector will be indirectly impacted in terms of feed availability, but they face different things. Things that are affecting the crop sector, particularly the specialty crop sector, are very wet seasons to begin. A lot of the rain makes planting difficult, but when the weather is warm, like it has been unseasonably warm, at least in our part of the country, we see that those planting periods are moved up quicker. You couple that with the need for migrant workers that are much more difficult to get this year because the visa restrictions have reduced the number of migrant workers that can legally come into the states to help with the planting and harvesting activities. So those are the types of constraints that a lot of the crop and specialty crop production are facing right now. All over the news, we've seen lots about the processing sector of the meat side. There have been closures or temporary closures or reduced activity in a lot of the meat processing plants. A lot of the news I've seen has focused in on the impact of illness related to coronavirus, but that's not the only reason. The first drop of workers showing up at these plants really happened when the schools closed because a lot of folks have children and had no child care for their children, so they couldn't make it into the job. So the combination of the school closings and the illness has reduced the number of available workers in these plants. And when we talk about that domino effect, if the plants aren't working to capacity, that means less animals can move through these plants, which backs things up not only at the plant, but at the farm, and will ultimately lead to a reduction of the amount of food available in the supermarkets in the future.
There seem to be these sort of contrasting concerns looking forward. There's worry about shortages, but then there's also concern about surplus, everything from potatoes in Belgium to dairy farmers having to pour milk out. How do those relate to each other, or do they?
They do, and it seems contradictory that we'll see a shortage in the supermarket, yet know that there has been excess food around the world, and that has to do with a lot of our supply chain markets. I'm not going to talk too much about that today because that will be covered in another section led by Dean Matt Waller, who is going to be speaking as part of our pandemic class. But part of the problem with the distribution has to do with packaging, for example. Think about the milk industry, as you mentioned. A lot of milk is served in schools and other cafeterias, and they package them in those half-pint containers. Once they're packaged that way, they really can't take them back to the milk plant, repackage them in gallons to move them over to the supermarket. So when the supply chains and the packaging chains are disrupted, we'll see those disruptions in the supermarket. A lot of products are reliant on export markets, and when demand falls around the world, certain areas of the world are going to see stockpiles of certain crops and other food products because nobody is demanding them elsewhere.
With this being such an unprecedented event, we don't know if we're in the beginning, the middle, we certainly don't think we're at the end, of course. Is there a way for agricultural interests, be they small, medium, or big, to move forward with any confidence?
We do the best we do in agriculture every year. As you mentioned early on, there is innate risk in agriculture, but it is, I'm really impressed with at least locally what we're seeing that that farmers are doing. They're agile. Their markets, their local markets, perhaps a farmer's market or a restaurant has closed down. So they're turning to alternative markets. What can they do in order to get their product out? They're moving to sell online. They're working with wholesalers. A new group in the area, the Food Conservancy, is helping to move a lot of excess produce that would have been sold at the farmers markets into the communities in other ways. They are looking to shore up their supply chains and diversify a little more. They're looking at changing their workforce. If we can't have the migrant laborers come in, how can we take some of the folks that may have been displaced in the tourism and recreation areas and give them some jobs, at least temporarily, in agriculture? So there's always some sort of innovative thinking going on with farmers. If farmers weren't innovative, they wouldn't succeed in the first place.
Maybe we don't know specifics yet, but is it fair to assume that this will have some lasting effects, some lasting changes in some way on agriculture and business?
We don't know yet, but I would suspect it would. I think all of the ways of business moving forward, whether we're talking about agriculture or other industries, is going to change. We're going to really need to think about how our supply chain operates. We're really going to need to think about that balance between producing things for local consumption as well as for export, either out of our region or out of our nation. We're going to have to think about what those processing plants are, in not just for basic meat production, but in terms of packaging for different types of markets, and how quickly they can change to shift their product to get to different places. So agriculture as we know it, I believe, has changed. There's no doubt about it, just like most other industries will change moving forward. And it's going to take a collective thought process with the different crops and animal industry leaders to figure out the best way moving forward for our nation.
Jenny Popp is Associate Dean of the Honors College at the University of Arkansas. She's also a professor of agricultural economics and agribusiness at the U of A. And on May 20th, she'll co-lead a session of the Honors College Forum about the pandemic. Dee Fong, Assistant Professor of Agricultural Economics and Agribusiness, will also be part of that session. She'll discuss food access and food deserts. The Pandemic Forum will take place May 11th through the 22nd. The Honors College will provide free public access to the forum by posting a recording of each class online. You can go to honorscollege.uark.edu/pandemic.